Listeners, you're going to learn about a cuisine that you probably don't even know exists. It's called cuisine niçoise, and it's way more than a salad, which you would be familiar with. Sun-kissed cooking from the French Riviera. And I love this style cuisine, and we're going to be talking to Hilary Davis, who is the author. You lived there how many years, Hilary?
Hi, Anne. Good morning.
Hi.
I lived in France a total of 13 years, and then in the south of France, 11 years. And
in a little village?
In my little village. My husband and I had always dreamed of living in France. I guess a lot of people do, and we were driving one day and just decided we're going to do this. And we found this village, which is wonderful because it's totally off the tourist map. No one goes to the village. There's really nothing to go there for other than this amazing view. And we fell in love with it and moved there.
And you developed a lot of connections. One of the wonderful things about your book are the stories you tell about your cast of characters. Could you mention some of them for our listeners?
Well, I think the first one and closest to my heart is Madame.
Up the hill.
One of the first. She's gone now. But one of the first weeks I lived there, this older lady and gentleman arrived at the front gate. She had a beautiful fruit tart and welcoming me to the village, and she and I developed a very special relationship over the years. And we walked up and down that hill almost every day, either to talk or cook or just visit, and she's been in my heart. She's gone, Monsieur, her husband's gone. And then, you know, your neighbors in the village, when they learn you love food, they all offer their recipes, and it's like when you have a dog, and everybody makes friends if you have a dog. Well, when I start talking food, everyone wants to offer their recipes. So it was a wonderful way to make friends, surrounding community, and it sort of drew us all together the way probably a lot of, you know, not much else would.
And, of course, your being a food journalist would certainly be, this would be an idyllic opportunity for you.
It was wonderful, and it didn't even mean to happen. Just got there, we had arrived at our dream, and I was hit in the eyes by a cuisine I'd never heard of. It may be just me, everyone else knows about it, but I thought I really had read everything and tried everything, and to hear about cuisine niçoise and then eat it was a revelation. It was just amazing. It's the kind of cuisine that just comes together. The reason that it's really an interesting one for me is that it's the cuisine around Nice, which is a big city on the ocean there. It's like Paris by the sea. It's quite sophisticated.
All right.
But it sits right on the border of Italy, right next to Genoa. And so this cuisine, between the grandmothers and the intermarrying and the traveling back and forth, between Genoa and Nice, there's this wonderful cuisine that's developed, which is almost a perfect blend of the best of French and the best of Italian.
So it's sort of like there's a distinct crossover going on there, correct?
Yeah, there's a crossover, and it's not the cream and butter of French cooking. It's the wonderful, healthy bit you get along the Riviera, and then the Italian side coming in again is the best, for me, of Italian cooking. It's Genoese. It is, again, olive oil, fresh vegetables, fish. And when you marry the two and you have it coming down through generations, it starts to morph into really interesting local dishes, which I'd never heard of before. So.
Right. And now, you mentioned in the book the relationship also with Sardinia.
Yes.
Sardinia. And what are those influences in these recipes?
I don't think there are traceable ones, but because the Kingdom of Sardinia was quite big and it was taken over at some point by the House of Savoy, so it really represented all of Italy. So I don't know if the the island of Sardinia had as much influence as one would think. However, when you look at the major ingredients that are used in both cuisines, you pick up some startling consequences. You know, you have a lot of lemons, anchovies, fresh baby sardines,
right.
Sweet and salty. You have the raisins in a salty dish. So, yeah, although I couldn't directly trace, you can pick up definitely similarities between the two.
Now, we had a restaurant locally that was called Cafe Allegro. It's long since gone, but it was based on what was called, they called Riviera cooking.
Really?
And it was a French-Italian Riviera-style cooking, and they called it Allegro because it was so lively. Yes, and so one of my ideas in this book is that the experience of the food, not only the ingredients being local, the whole terroir thing, there's also the experience of actually being there and eating in that environment that is important to your appreciation of these of the cuisine. And you convey that wonderfully well with the stories you tell. So that,
thank
I think,
you,
is part
but,
of
you
it.
Know what? I think that if you live in the States, all the ingredients are really available. Cuisine Suave is about taking whatever's in your garden or what you can find in the farmer's market. As long as it's high quality, fresh, local, and then working with the recipes that I give you, the only thing that you'd probably have to buy that you normally wouldn't have on your shelf is something called chickpea flour, which is garbanzo bean flour, which they use quite a bit in their cuisine. And I love it because it's gluten-free, it's high protein, it has a delightful nutty flavor, and really, honestly, it makes such a wonderful batter. It makes wonderful little fries that I have in the book. You can make little French fries with it. It's called panisse. And they're healthy. I think it probably is a lot healthier than perhaps potato fry. It's, So that's really the only thing that I can think of that we wouldn't have on our pantry shelves here. You can recreate the whole experience at home. I think it's more a way of living and a way of looking at life, not using processed foods as much, and just simply throwing some things together and enjoying the wonderful flavors that come out.
Now, you have the book organized with, of course, you do the list of the pantry list to start with, and then you have a fairly classical organization of beginnings, les entrées, soups, salads, pastas, and there is a lot of pasta and risotto and pizzas in this area. Then you have vegetables, then you have an interesting aside is, again, I think a lifestyle issue. Easy weeknights, Sunday suppers, and then sweet endings. And that's a way of life, too, isn't it?
The sweet endings?
No, the idea of having the easy weeknights and
The
family style, and you talk about the pottery.
Yeah, well, the French women are just like us. They have jobs, they're running around, they have children, and they are the first to use shortcuts and quicker things during the week, but they love to cook. So on the weekends, you know, that's their day, Sunday, and they sort of enjoy eating these lovely big meals, and grandmother comes, and the uncles come, and the kids come, and it's really family day eating. So I wanted to separate those kind of meals, so I put it in Sunday suppers. And then the weeknight meals are the ones that they're lucky there because they have something called traiteurs, which are, I guess we call it a deli here, but they're very high-end stores that make complete meals. So you can run in for your children if you're getting home at 8 at night and get a nice meal to bring home that's warm. But on the nights where they do want to cook their children food, they do cook, and they cook from scratch, and I have those meals in the weeknight meals. So they're definitely much quicker and easier to put together.
Now, is this the kind of book that people who are thinking of visiting that region of the world, would they find it interesting? Is it the kind of food that they would find in restaurants there?
Well, I'll tell you, I think Cuisine Niçoise is a cookbook that wants to be a travel guide.
Yep, yeah, I think you're right.
I couldn't help myself. I wanted to tell everybody about my favorite towns. So there's a lot of information about all the villages in that area that I go to, and all the little museums I visit, and all the hours of the local market. And I do mention restaurants. I have my favorite restaurant chefs have contributed recipes, and you can see their pictures and learn about their restaurants, and I highly recommend those. So I would say, yeah, it's even if you don't want to cook, it's sort of, you know, a little travel guide.
Yeah, I love that part of the world. We'd love to visit again. We keep on saying we're going to. The only thing that I found really alarming and astounding and very upsetting is that the beaches are all stones.
Oh, well, that's
I couldn't understand how people could spend hours sitting on these damp pebbles.
But haven't you heard of the wonderful warm stone massage those beaches give you?
Yeah, right. I seem to recall there were quite a few dents in my bottom. So listen, listeners, if you're planning on heading to this part of the country, don't expect to find a lot of time on the beach unless you take a deck chair.
Bring a beach chair. The other part that's fun of on those beaches, really, I'm sure you know, is the restaurants.
So the restaurants.
Oh, right. Just so eating right there. There's no, yeah, it's a perfect experience, isn't it?
I mean, they're right on the beach, and every few feet you've got another restaurant, and they're all vying for the best food. So, you know, it's just, you can get your suntan and have lunch. And
Well, we found that in parts of Italy, which are coastal as well, the same
kind
of thing applies.
And in Spain. Now, are there these photographs? I mean, they should be mentioned. Oh. They are to die for, photographs.
Oh, the photographer, I was blessed. His name is Stephen Rothfeld, and he does all the photography for Francis May's Under the Tuscan Sun cookbook. He is a master, and he traveled with me for 2 weeks, and everywhere I went, every village, every meal I made, and he just recorded it with these luscious. They should be in a museum. Some of them are so beautiful. Just.
So this is a coffee table book. In fact, it's almost a coffee table.
I'm so proud because this publisher, some cookbooks are treated like telephone books. They're just printed with recipes. And this publisher believes in creating beauty. And so they took my work and his work, and they created one of the most beautiful cookbooks I've ever seen.
Yeah, they have all these wonderful, do you call them line drawings?
Yeah, the line drawings, and big and heavy.
It is heavy, too.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel flimsy. That's one of the things I noticed when I picked it up. Get cookbooks through here. I mean, I always have at least 150 cookbooks sitting in my hall.
Yeah.
And you could tell the difference in quality of the weight of this book. It was amazing.
That's
Gibbs Smith is the publisher.
Yeah, Gibbs Smith, they do amazing work. They do beautiful architectural books and interior design books. And so when they get their hands on a cookbook, they create it as a work of art. And I was blessed to be paired with them. They're just lovely.
Well, it's one for the ages. We're still skimming through it. It's one of those.
You haven't cooked yet.
Yes, it's one of those that belongs in the category.
What should be the first recipe?
Of a real keeper.
Which would be the first recipe you'd recommend for me to cook?
Well, my favorite, I just can't get enough of it, and this is such a cliche, is I love salad niçoise.
Oh, yeah.
and I have the real recipe there. It's funny, you'll read the story in my cookbook, but there's what the French call the vrai. The real salad niçoise, and then the one the rest of the world makes. So I have a real recipe, and I tell you the whole story. And then, and even Julia Child, who loved this region, she lived in Opio, right near me, and she even didn't. she just took off from the real recipe and did her own thing by adding potato salad to hers, which I love, actually.
Right.
But it's not the real salad niçoise, so I would say try that first because it's really easy and it's just delicious. And then I really like the niçoise rice salad because they tend to throw that together on a hot summer day all over the south of France, around Nice, and it's delicious. It's very refreshing. And anything with candied fruits in my book, because
yeah, that was a surprise.
That.
Your book just had a fall. So listeners, you can tell it's a heavy book
because
dropped it and it broke a table leg on the way down.
I hope it didn't break her toe.
No, fortunately it missed. Well. You've revived our interest once again in returning to this wonderful region that really spans the customs and the foods of southern France and Mediterranean Italy, especially Liguria, which is the part of Italy that's right next door. And the neat part about it, listeners, is you can, if you can't afford the time to go, you can recreate the experience for yourself.
Yeah.
So it's called Cuisine Niçoise.
Yes, Sun-Kissed Cooking from the French Riviera, and it's a must-have. I think it's going to actually go into the category, Hillary, of classic.
And this is
Hillary Davis, and congratulations on a really magnificent book, Hillary.
Thank you, Anne. It was a work of love, and I hope everybody enjoys it.
We enjoyed talking to you today. Thank you so much for joining us on The Menu.